in the time of battle. Gideon's fleece, Samson's power, David's song, he's a balm of Gilead, he's Jeremiah's balm, Ezekiel's wheel, Job's horse, pouring in the valley, somebody say yes, he's Daniel's muzzle, or in the lion's den, he's the Hebrew boy's fire extinguisher, somebody say yes, come on and give God praise, but he's my redeemer, he's my Savior, he's my healer, he's my lawyer. Somebody say yeah, say yeah. I know he's all right. Is he all right? Is he all right? Say yeah, say yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. Matthew 26, verse 39. There's so much meat in the text. Time would not allow me to deal extensively with all of the things I want to say about this text. And we go back further into the beginning parts of chapter 26 to tell the story. As a matter of fact, the entire chapter of Matthew 26 to get the entirety of it. But it's in this one verse that's encroached principles that will help us to see how Jesus dealt with the most difficult situation in his life. I believe it'll be helpful to the believers if we look at how Jesus dealt with his difficulty.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Let's begin reading now.
And fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while this morning, I want to speak from the subject, I had about two or three of them I wanted to use, but I think the best one is going to be when Jesus said in his prayer, a nevertheless experience. I won't talk about a nevertheless experience. My brothers and sisters, I don't care who you are, how long you've been in God, how much you know about God, every last one of us will have a nevertheless experience. Some may have it and don't recognize it. Some may have it and don't know how to deal with it. Some may be dealing with it right now and are having troubles getting out of it. But I believe this word today is going to help all of the believers. Maybe right now you're in a wonderful place. Everything is going well for you. Praise the Lord. But I need you to know, as you continue to go and grow in Christ, the enemy, the closer you get to the Lord, the more the enemy is going to do what he can to destroy that relationship and fellowship. Now, one of the things I want you to note about this word is Jesus Christ is dealing with some crucial issues concerning his emotional state, his spiritual state, and his physical state. Verse 37 tells us, well, verse 36 tells us that he and the disciples had come to the opening of the Garden of Gethsemane. And he left eight of them there because Judas had already left when they were at the Lord's table with the Last Supper to go and betray him. So it was only eight of them that would be left after he took Peter, James, and John, which would have made a total of 11. But he took the eight and left them at the opening of the garden. Then he took the three, Peter, James, and John, and brought them in a little deeper into the garden. And then he went, the word says, a little farther. Well, one of the things this tells me is that the Lord Jesus never puts more on us than we can bear. I want you to know that it's good to know that everybody with you can't go with you where you're going. It's important for you to know what their limitations are so that they don't hinder or harm the journey. There are some people who love you, they want to be with you, they would do what they can, but what they can is not enough. And you've got to give them a place where they'll be safe, and a place that they can handle. And you must know how God is moving in your life and those who are around you to know whether or not they are capable of dealing with the difficulties you must deal with. So now, there are three different spaces. In the beginning, then the three, and then Jesus gone a little farther. It also says that Jesus always goes farther than he asks us to go. If the Lord asks you to do this, believe you me, he's going farther. If the Lord commands you to do something and it seems so difficult for you, I need you to know that he will go even further than what's too difficult for you. He shows us in scriptures in simple, plain language how he dealt with, as we see the picture unfold, how he dealt with these 11 disciples in a crucial point in his ministry. Then the Bible says again, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What he was saying right here is, oh, my Father, if it be possible that we can interject plan B, this would be a good time to do it. Why? Because Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. On the one hand, that was 100% humanity. And on the other hand, that was 100% divinity. And so Jesus is dealing with both of those realities inside one vessel. And the war is going on. Now, I need you to understand that when he prays this, he's praying this because the human side of Jesus don't want to suffer what is to come and die like this. He doesn't mind paying a price. He doesn't mind making a sacrifice. But there is a difficulty connected with the reality of what he's getting ready to go through. And so he calls the only one who can change the plan and everything be all right. And his Father does not answer him then. Because I want you to see something. The reason why, and I want you to jot this down because you'll need it for your own lifestyle. The reason why Jesus gave some disciples a further distance from him than the other disciples that were closer to him was the fact when he went a little further than the three disciples, it was because whenever there is a nevertheless experience, there's going to be a personal process by which you must go through. Personal. See, there are some things nobody else can do for you. There are some things you're going to have to go through yourself. Mama can't go through them for you. Daddy can't go through them. Husband, wife, you know, sister, brother, friend. Nobody can go through them but you. And you must understand that God has customized your course so that you could handle everything that he permits to come on this course. And when he does that, it is so that you will understand that he has got this thing fixed. It's a personal process. Now, he didn't ask them to pray with him. He asked them to watch with him. Watch. Well, if you back up a few verses earlier, he's telling you that he's sorrowful and his soul is sorrowful even unto death. He's in a deep pain, deep spiritual pain, deep emotional pain. And not long from now, he's going to be in deep physical pain. And so here, this personal process must be done by him and him alone. It's all right to watch. Why did he want them to watch? Well, I'm glad you asked. He wanted them to watch him because each and every one of them were going to have their nevertheless experiences. He showed himself an example par excellent in how to handle your nevertheless. Nevertheless means notwithstanding. Nevertheless means the bottom line. Nevertheless means this has come to a head. Some folk might say, my back is against the wall. I've got a decision to make. And you're going to see Jesus is dealing with this in his own flesh. But secondly, not only is it a personal process, you're going to note that it's a particular peculiarity in the text. A particular peculiarity in the text. What makes this a particular peculiarity? Listen at the prayer again. Oh, my Father, if it be possible. Now, he has said himself, with God, all things are possible. But when God has a perfect will, a perfect plan, and we yield totally to that perfect plan, there are no alternatives to his perfect plan. In other words, it's what he said or not. There's no plan B. There's no other way men could have been saved except by what Jesus is getting ready to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now he says this, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Now let's back up. When he says, "Let this cup," that's the particular peculiarity. You say, well, why is that a particular peculiarity? Because he is facing momentarily a crowd of men who are on their way to take him by force and begin the judgment process. And then, secondly, the crucifixion process. And then, thirdly, bring him and nail him to the cross.
Yeah.
In spite of him saying, if it be possible, let this crowd pass from me. Let this crucifixion pass from me. Let this cross pass from me.
Yes.
He says, let this cup pass from me. Well, it begs to wonder what was in the cup. When Jesus looked at the cup, and there are many cups that represent various things in the New Testament scripture, and Jesus was talking about here the cup of suffering. The cup of suffering brought about by sin. Sin. When he looked in the cup, he saw something that no one else on earth could see.
All right, Doc.
He saw every sin, every dirty, evil deed. He saw every wicked thing that had ever been done. He saw every person who had ever committed a sin, disobeyed God, did not obey his commissions. I mean, you can run a litany of things, but it was everything that was not holy and righteous in this cup. It was not just a bitter cup. It was a poisonous portion. And it was potent. It was potent. It was the most potent thing that any person would ever be able to drink and deal with on the level that Jesus could, only because he was not just man, but he was fully God.
Yes, Lord.
And so what you need to see is when he looked in the cup, he saw two things. One, he saw the spiritual aspect of what sin represented in that cup. He was a man who was sinless. He was a man who knew no sin, did no sin, but had to drink the bitter poison of sin and become sin so that he could pay the price for mankind. This is one of the reasons why he said in the fourth word, in the utterance on the cross, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is by interpretation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It is because God is too holy of a God to look on sin and have any dealing with it. And when Jesus drank from the bitter cup and drank all of it, he himself had become sin.
Yes, sir.
And the father didn't see his son. He saw sin. And Jesus and his father, who had never been separated in the spirit before, was going to happen when he drank that bitter cup. And then he saw the crucifixion. He saw the crowds coming. He saw all of the things that would happen to him looking in that cup that would happen to his flesh. His flesh. And so therefore, it was the most bitter cup that he and any other created being had ever witnessed. And no one was worthy to drink from that cup and live again.
Yes, Lord.
But Jesus. And so, my brothers and sisters, when I think of this particular peculiarity, it's important that we recognize that the cup that Jesus drank from, we couldn't drink from it. But everything that's not like him, that we did, that we committed, that was ungodly in us, was in that cup. Not only is it a personal process, and not only is it a particular peculiarity, but thirdly, there reaches a point in your nevertheless experience where there comes a time where there is a pivotal point. A pivotal point. And nevertheless is Jesus's pivotal point. He made his request known, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." That's the humanity of him praying. But then in his pivotal moment, he shouts out, "Nevertheless." And then the spiritual part of him, the godly part of him, says, "Not as I will." Why does he say, "Not as I will" first and "not as thou will"? Because he just got through asking God for his will to be done, not God's will. And when he looked at the price, how many times have you consented to do a job and you said, "Oh yeah, I'll do this," and you counted up the cost and you thought, "Well, I got it." And you started on the job. And you realized that it was a little more difficult than you thought it was. That there were some things that you didn't see initially in the inspection or in your perusal of the work that needed to be done. And so your appraisal was based on one thing. And when you got behind the scene, you saw it was something altogether different. And so Jesus had to deal with the flesh and the spirit. And so here's what I want you to know as I close. In all of our lives, we are going to have a nevertheless moment.
Yes, Lord.
How do you handle a nevertheless moment? What's involved in it? Let me show you a few things. The first thing about this pivotal point in a nevertheless moment is, one, you resolve to settle your own heart and your own mind. You resolve to settle it. What does that mean? That means you make up in your mind, "I've seen the lightning flashing.
Yeah.
I've heard the thunder roar.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But he promised me, I heard the voice of Jesus, bidding me still to fight on. But he promised me. He promised me never to leave me alone. In other words, you begin to resolve the fact that God's got you. It might not look like it right now. It might not feel like it right now. Folk that you depended on you, left you or left you by yourself or followed you afar off or did not do what they said they were going to do. But God will never forsake you. He will be right there. You need to resolve that I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him. Listen, and he shall direct my paths. I resolve to settle it in my own heart and mind.
Come on, doctor, come on.
But secondly, after I resolve to settle things underneath my skin, then I need to release to the situation. Release the situation. Now, why is this important? Because it wasn't until Jesus made up his mind that he was going to release this situation that stopped him in the process. The process couldn't go on. Are you listening to me? You see, because he was holding on to doubt and disbelief. He was holding on to that part where his humanity did not want to obey the will of God. And Jesus always did what pleased his Father. And he had to release whatever that was he was holding on to. A lot of times we don't understand that we think things are holding on to us, but it is us holding on to those things. And so he released the situation. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. In other words, as your will has already been laid out, it's already been accepted, we're going to move forward in what we have agreed on. So he resolves to settle his mind. He releases the situation. And then thirdly, relief comes to his soul and his spirit. My brothers and sisters, the nevertheless moment will last as long as you hold on to the thing that's got you scared.
Glory, glory, glory.
Job said, I feared the thing that I feared the most has come upon me. The thing I hated the most has happened to me. Well, Jesus was in that same predicament. Now what you gonna do? It has already come to the point where you're face to face with your nevertheless moment. Are you going to obey God or are you not going to obey him? Are you going to surrender and submit to him or are you not going to surrender and submit to him? You've got to make a decision to do it one way or the other. And when you're in a nevertheless moment, you've got to decide to release it so that you can be relieved in your soul and your spirit. And I got news for you. When you're relieved in your soul and the spirit, listen, God didn't change the plan, did he? But those of you who've been around me a long time know I've shared with you already. He didn't change the situation, but he changed how he felt about the situation.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.com.